The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
I've learned that today's neurological research has placed habit at the center of human behavior. We are apparently what we do repetitively. We want to add something to our life, whether that's exercise, prayer, or just getting up earlier in the morning. We have to turn an activity into a habit through repetition, or it just won't stick. Well, what would happen if we applied the same kind of daily dedication to our faith? Well, my next guest, Jen Pollock Michelle, she invites the convinced and the curious into a 40-day Bible reading experience in a habit called faith, 40 days in the Bible to find and follow Jesus. She translates ancient truths from a secular, or rather for a secular age, and she highlights how the biblical text invites us to see how to live, to know, to see, to love, and obey. Both believers and doubters alike are going to learn to explore how faith, even faith as small as a mustard seed, might grow into a life-defining habit. Well, Jen Pollock Michelle is the award-winning author of Teach Us to Want, Keeping Place, and Surprised by Paradox. She holds a BA in French from Wheaton College and an MA in Literature from Northwestern University. An American living in Toronto, she is a wife and mother of five. She's the lead editor for Imprint Magazine and host of the Inglewood Review, a books podcast. We are so delighted to have you with us today to talk about your latest book. Welcome.
Thank you, Georgine. Great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you as well. Now, habits seems to fall in that category of discipline, and that sort of fallen out of fashion in the 21st century. We sort of do what comes natural. We just do what, you know, we choose to do or not to do. Are people resistant to the notion of habit, or have we forgotten the value and importance of habit in changing the course or setting the course of important matters in life?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I mean, in some ways, you do see resistance to habits. I mean, I think there's something in us as human beings. We sort of just want to have unlimited freedom. You know, we want to get up in the day and just kind of decide what to do spontaneously, according to our whim, according to our desire. And I think paradoxically, we also want a life that is centered on the things we most value. And those things don't always line up, do they? I mean, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I might value good health, but what I don't want to do is lace up my shoes and, you know, get to exercising. And so I think habit is one of those ways that we can think about connecting our desires, our values to our everyday action. And there is discipline involved in it. I think in the life of faith, it's never a discipline that's just totally self-driven. You know, we're mm-hmm. always asking God for his grace, for the Spirit's help as we engage habits. You know, I was just describing it recently to somebody that if you can imagine that God's grace and his power, they're like the wind, you know, and habit is really just the sail that you hoist, and you hope to, you know, catch some of that wind, and you hope for it to power your life in a direction of transformation and mission.
What does neurological science tell us about the discipline of habit?
Well, one of the things that research tells us is that we are habit-forming creatures, whether we think we like habit as a category or not, you know, that especially as the world becomes increasingly complex, habits, you know, maybe it could just be eating the same thing for breakfast every morning or, you know, having certain patterns of your week. You know, Friday is always the day that you order takeout. In a complex world, habit sort of simplifies your life. You don't have to make all these decisions because you just have a habit. And the other thing, too, that research tells us is that we have so much of our behavior is far more habitual and subconscious. We aren't making conscious choices all the time. We're actually acting out of habit. And so I think there's something, you know, really to notice about that. Whether you think or whether I think I'm forming habits or not, I am. And so to form habits intentionally allows us to be able to connect the dots between the life we really value, the things mm-hmm. we really value, and how we live every day.
Yeah, if we're going to live meaningfully, we have to be intentional about which habits we support and which ones we reject. Now, mm-hmm. the book that we're talking about is divided into 40 daily readings. Why 40? And describe to us how this devotional, if you will, is structured.
Sure. You know, 40 in some ways just felt like a really biblical number. You have Israel, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and Jesus was in the wilderness himself facing temptation for 40 days, and Moses was on top of Mount Sinai for 40 days as he was receiving the law from God. And so 40 just felt like, you know, kind of an obvious biblical number, and it also felt like a substantial amount of time, that if you do anything for 40 days straight, that you're on your way to making something a habit. And of course, what I'm inviting readers to is to make Bible reading a habit, which I think is a really important habit of faith. You know, truthfully, when I became a Christian as a teenager, someone told me, this is a really important habit, you know, read your Bible every day. 40 days, you know, so there's nothing magical about it. I just think it, you know, it's substantial enough to form a habit. And the readings are 20 days in the book of Deuteronomy and 20 days in the Gospel of John. And I've had a lot of people say, well, that kind of feels like a bit of an odd pairing. But the interesting thing is, as I was actually preparing for a speaking engagement, long before I was even writing the book or even had conceived of the book, I was studying in the Gospel of John. And I was realizing, as I was studying different commentators, reading different commentaries, that there are all these connections between John and Deuteronomy. And that actually Deuteronomy is, aside from the Psalms, it's the most quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament. So it's actually a pretty prominent book. Not a book we pay a lot of attention to, but a book I think that's really important. And I think that highlights really what the nature of faith is. So when you open to the book of Deuteronomy, the very first phrase of the book, and it's actually the title for the book in the Hebrew, is "These are the words." And so that's kind of the whole frame for the book of Deuteronomy, the words of God as given to Moses and given to the people of Israel before they inherit the promised land. And Moses is saying to the people, listen to these words, heed them, hear them, obey them, and you'll find your life in them. And then, of course, we get to the Gospel of John, and on the very first page of that biography of Jesus, we meet the Word of God, the enfleshed Word of God, Jesus himself, who's come in grace and truth. And so there are a lot of really wonderful parallels between the books.
We're talking about a habit called faith, 40 days in the Bible to find and follow Jesus. Now, the goal ultimately is to develop a habit of Bible reading, which is such a healthy practice in the Christian faith. How do you structure each of your devotionals, each of the 40 devotionals? I know that each one has an assigned passage of scripture, but how is it intended for the reader to approach each one? And why do you think journaling is an important part of making this a productive habit?
Well, one of the things that I try to do in the book is to make it accessible for people who may be on the spectrum, you know, a variety of different places in terms of their faith journey. So if you're coming to this book and this is the first, you know, real kind of the first commitment you've ever made to reading the Bible regularly, you may not, you know, I've basically every day has a full chapter that you could read and then read the daily reflection that I've written. But if that, I mean, for some people, that's going to feel like an enormous amount of reading. They don't yet have this habit cultivated in their life. So I have a smaller selection of verses, you know, maybe 5 to 6 to 8 verses that you could read in lieu of the entire chapter. And if that feels too much, then you have one key verse that you could just sort of focus on and meditate on during the day for that day's reading. And differently than maybe a typical devotional, a lot of times when we think about devotionals, we imagine like a really small book, and, you know, maybe it's like 3 little paragraphs and they're inspirational thoughts. this book really asks you to engage pretty deeply with the biblical text. It's not a scholarly book, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, but it's more than just an inspirational thought for the day. It really is asking people to consider, you know, what is the life of faith really like? What does God want from in terms of his relationship with his people? What are the expectations that he has? What are these big concepts like grace and salvation and even faith itself? You know, how are we meant to understand these? And then, so I kind of, you know, I'm trying to ask and answer some of those really big questions. And at the end of every day, as you mentioned, there are a couple of discussion / reflection questions. You know, you might be reading this with a group or a friend, but you may be reading it by yourself. And those are a couple of questions that you could just journal about. I found in my own life, in my own habit of Bible reading, the more that I actually like really engage with it, like, and for me, that is journaling. Journaling is just a way that I allow something to penetrate a little bit more deeply, where I sort of linger on something, think about it, think about how it applies to me. Sometimes journaling can just help us to do that. It actually just sort of slows us down a little bit so that we don't just skim and quickly read and then close our book and then get on with our day.
Now, as you've described it, is this a book best suited for those who are seekers, who are nominal believers, or those who are seasoned but just don't have a regular Bible study regime?
Well, I'm going to be a little bit coy, and I'm going to say yes. Yes to all of the above, which sounds a little, you know, that's like my husband. He kind of answers questions like that, two questions, and he answers them both with yes. It's really not an either or. I mean, I wrote this book because I have seen in my life that spiritually curious people, really, they're helped to engage with the Bible, to actually, you know, read the scriptures, to articulate some of their own assumptions, and then to measure those assumptions according to what they find in the scripture. So I have that kind of person in mind, which is actually just my everyday, you know, friend. I live in Toronto, which is an incredibly secular city. And so I engage with people all the time, people who don't share my faith commitments, people actually who share a lot of apprehension about the Bible. And so this project is written with that person in mind, in part, but I think it's also written for the person who's maybe been in the Bible for years and years and years and years. You know, in some ways, sometimes, I don't think that our questions are all that different sometimes. I mean, really, what it means to be human is that we want to find a life that makes sense of our reality, that makes sense of the longings of our hearts, that feels like it's coherent morally, intellectually. And so I'm writing this book with a variety of different people in mind. I would love to see Christians actually offer to read this book with a spiritually curious friend. It could be a neighbor. It could be a family member, somebody that they've already, you know, shared their faith with. Maybe they've told this person about their own personal faith, but they've not been able to sort of take that conversation to the next step. Hey, do you want to explore some of your own spiritual questions? Would you like to read the Bible with me for 40 days? Some people will say yes, and they'll be so excited that somebody's finally asked them to do that, and that they have a tool, like, so that they're not just sort of, you know, opening the Bible and trying to make sense of it themselves. Some people, of course, are going to say no, and they're not ready for that yet. But I've seen in my own life, actually just even recently, over the last couple of years, when I was working on the book, I had somebody in my church who was not a believer, had come to church because of a life crisis, had a lot of spiritual questions, a lot of interest, wanted to read the Bible. And I said, well, and I happened to be introduced to her, and I said, I'd be happy to read the Bible with you. I'm working through Deuteronomy right now for a book that I'm writing. How does that sound? And that doesn't sound like the place you would normally take somebody when you first open the Bible with them. But what a, I mean, it's marvelous. I mean, in really a period of months, she was a Christian. You know, of course, I was there talking through Deuteronomy, helping her to understand it, making connections to the gospel and the story of Jesus. But she's kind of my poster child now for, you can read the book of Deuteronomy with somebody who's spiritually curious.
And I love that phrase, spiritually curious. I should mention that you share stories throughout the book of those who have come to faith and how it's impacted their understanding of Scripture and what faith is. Can you share a practical way that you've cultivated the habit of listening to God in your life? I know studying the Scripture isn't just about reading words on a page, but it's developing a relationship with God as He invites us into His presence. How do you and how have you cultivated the habit of listening in your own life?
You know, cultivating the habit of listening to God is really, in our noisy age, a lot about cultivating the conditions of quiet in our lives. So, you know, of course, yes, I do have a habit of reading the Bible every day. But if I were doing that with a disquieted soul, you know, in a noisy room, like in the middle of a crazy day, that I probably wouldn't absorb very much. And so I think one of the ways that we cultivate the habit of listening to God is just cultivating some quiet, slow spaces, you know, in a day where you don't have, you turn off your phone, where you, you know, turn off all sort of external noises, if you can. I mean, of course, I know there are people who are in seasons of life, you know, this would be lovely, right? I have five children, so I've lived seasons where quiet was something pretty elusive in my house. But if you can, you know, it could just be for 5 minutes where you sort of slow down. And then you assume the posture of the little Samuel, you know, this little boy at the beginning of 1 Samuel who grows up to be the great prophet. And the first time that God speaks to him and calls his name, he doesn't know it's God. And Eli, you know, finally sort of clues in three times, you know, God has beckoned Samuel, summoned him, and Eli said, well, that's God. And so the next time you hear him, you say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. And I think even if we could just assume that posture, and we could maybe even say that aloud, you know, get ourselves into a quiet space during the day, a quiet spot, might only be for 5 minutes, might have to be in our closet if we have little children who are following us around. It might have to be at a time of day that, you know, you feel tired and you kind of wish you were just turning on Netflix. But if you could get into that quiet spot and you could say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. And you could just allow your mind to grow a little bit quiet as best you can. Maybe you say, God, I don't feel quiet at all. I just can't even quiet this noise in my mind. And you say, you know, Holy Spirit of God, help me. And then if you can have your scriptures right there and you can believe that it's not just you reading the scriptures, it really is the scriptures reading you. And that all those words of God, they're really your life. They're your life. They're your daily bread. That you can't live a day without them. I think that could be a good place to start.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the book is called A Habit Called Faith, 40 Days in the Bible to Find and Follow Jesus. What's the most important piece of advice that you have for your readers and our listeners today?
I say at the beginning of the book, you know, just try to finish. I think that when we start something, maybe we start a habit, we have a resolution, or could be you pick up this book and you say, I'm going to do this for 40 days. You know, so often we get like 8 days into something and we get distracted or we get tired or maybe we just get discouraged because we don't see immediate results. And I just want to say, keep going. You know, if you're going to take up this 40-day challenge, keep going and finish. I think so many things in life are kind of won, like, at the very end of it, you know? And so don't judge your spiritual life by 1 day or 3 days. Habits really, I think they produce results that really are measured in years. So I want to just say to listeners, keep going. Keep going.
Excellent advice. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate the book and I appreciate the time that you've taken. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Georgine.
Habit Called Faith, 40 Days in the Bible to Find and Follow Jesus. An excellent challenge for each of us if we're struggling in our effort and even desire to open God's Word.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.